This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, you win? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Welcome to the Kerry Dixon Show in association with ChelseaFan12.com, the home of the 12th fan, 12th man, in fact, the fan, there you go, who are our wonderful sponsors. And of course, if you want to know more about them, just go to ChelseaFan12.com. They've got all sorts of memorabilia, fantastic stuff, current and ex-players, signed boots, shirts, you name it. So they've got a lovely shop there. They've also got, the website's great, it's got full of Chelsea news, all your Chelsea news, plus loads of videos and a fan zone. And of course, they're the people behind the Chopper and Chivs show, Ron Harris and Gary Chivers, who basically sit themselves deep inside the Butcher's Hook opposite Stamford Bridge after every home game. And the lovely Chris videos, what they have to say about the game. It's great stuff, so check that out too. And you can follow them on Twitter, which is at Fan12Chelsea. And they're great mates of ours, Kerry, and welcome to you. How are you?
Well, I'm fine. We've had a very good week since we last spoke, and much better mood. And I suppose I'm not going to say it was a downbeat mood last week, but you know, we were a little bit reserved, if you like, about certain issues. But I've got to say, this week, I'm trying to preempt what you might ask me, and I would be a little bit more upbeat in certain areas, I have to say.
Yeah, well, we'll get into that all in a minute. I mean, just so people know, we're going to have a quick chat about the Leicester game. We're going to look back at the Carabag game from this week, which was great fun. I was there, I know Kerry was. And of course, we've got Arsenal to look forward to on Sunday, which of course I cannot wait for. But before we do that, I've got some news for you people out there, because many people will know that Paul Cannavale, a former Chelsea player, played with Kerry, of course, is a great friend of the Chelsea Fancast. In fact, as Paul always tells me himself, he's the one former player who's been on the show more than any other, which I think he's quite proud about. But anyway, very sadly, Paul was—he had emergency surgery last week, so he's not very well at all. So we obviously want to wish him our best, don't we, Kerry?
Yes, we certainly do. We heard about the news on Tuesday, you know, and don't quite know how serious it is. We gather that the surgery was quite successful. Paul, there hasn't been too much of a statement made yet as to why and what and all the intricacies of it all, but nevertheless, I'm sure everyone who knows Paul wishes him all the best. I certainly do, and I know you do, and wishes him a speedy recovery.
Well, I mean, I saw him, funnily enough, after the Burnley game. I was in the Tommy Tucker having a few ales, and he walked in with Ian Britton's son, Callum, and in fact, all of Ian's sons, funnily enough, they're all there, and he was on great form. So obviously, as Kerry said, we wish him all the best and hope for a very speedy recovery. On that note, there's a lovely lady who is also a friend of the show called Brenda Darcy, who is very much behind the Atlanta Blues over in the States. And I know that Paul has been over for all sorts of events with her in the past. And she has, I think mainly her and a few other friends have actually launched a GoFundMe campaign to support Paul in his recovery, because it's probably going to take him quite a while to get back on his feet, we reckon. So if you out there want to help out, or in fact, if you just want to send him a message, you can always send it to Chelsea Fancast and we'll pass it on to him, of course. He's also on Twitter and Facebook, so I think you could just put a message on Twitter or Facebook on his accounts and he'll at least get to see that. But if you want to help him, you know, in a more kind of practical and substantial way, you can donate here. And it is www.gofundme.com/Paul-Canneville-get-well-fun. So that's gofundme.com/Paul-Canneville-get-well-fund. And I'll obviously, you know, put that on our website, and I've tweeted it out this morning too. So, you know, if you can spare a few quid, then pop it in there and it'll all help Paul to get back on his feet again, which we hope will be very, very soon. Right, Kerry, we need to have a go. Well, we need to go back to last weekend, really, don't we, before we do anything else? Obviously, great fun to win. I think we got it bang on again. We predicted it bang on again. We said 2-1, didn't we?
Certainly did. Leicester looked like they might come back and force look for a point, as we expected. They're not going to roll over at their place and make it easy for anyone going there. But nevertheless, I think Chelsea put in a decent performance. We held on well at the end. And I think we were well worth the 3 points. Quite right. It's always good to get your predictions right, that's for sure. You know, you've got to try and justify what we actually talk about and to watch the team on a regular basis and try and predict what they do and get it right is always a bonus. And I have to say, I've got to try and get it in before you do. Alvaro Morata. I was sitting on the fence for quite a bit. Well, I certainly have been for the majority of this season, but I have to say, now take Tottenham out, which was my nagging doubt. You know, he scored his goals. I always say you're judged on goals, and the fellow is getting goals at the moment. And some good performances since the start of the season, and, you know, hit the ground running. Last week we were talking a little bit about player of the month and so on. I questioned that, but no, take it all back at the moment. Still not going to go overboard, but certainly looking like he can fill Diego Costa's boots, and I wish him well. And long may his goal-scoring run continue.
Yeah, it's. I mean, obviously, you know, most of the people I've spoken to are obviously very chuffed that he's, you know, he's finding the net as regularly as he is, and I think he's already becoming very well loved. But a few of the older lot amongst us are also completely delighted that he scored, you know, 3 headers actually. And I don't know why, but they all, for a certain age group, they always seem like proper centre forwards, goal, a header. So, and I think given that we were a bit worried about would he be able to cope with the physicality of the Premier League and the great big hairy ass defenders one finds there, I don't know why, but it seems a bit sweeter to me that he's managed to get 3 with his head so far, Kerry.
Yes, it's a very good goals as well, very good headed goals. I have to say, what I'm seeing, there's still a nagging doubt, but listen, you try and put yourself in these positions, and you know you're not going to play well all the time. And like I say about over the season, you get judged and so on. 1 iffy game, and 3, 4, 5, however many games it's been in total, pretty good games. And you know, headed goals it's an art. I think it's a dying art, I have to say. Balls going in the box, people getting in, heading the ball. I mean, it does happen, but far more times these days you see balls slid across the floor, pulled back for the shots. All this type of cross, nothing wrong with that at all. But you know, the art of heading the ball, it does seem to me to be a bit of a dying art. But it certainly is an art, and anyone who can do it on a regular basis is going to prove they're going to be gold dust to their team. And Morata certainly looks to me at the moment like someone who can find space in the box, and he uses his head very well, and can certainly finish. So once again, long may it continue.
Yeah, hear, hear, and amen to that. I mean, I think the interesting thing overall is that, you know, after the so-called crisis, you know, losing to Burnley, we've now, that's 3 wins in 4 games. We're now up to 3rd in the table. We're only 1 point behind Man City and Man United. Now, I mean, I know it's early in the season, but you don't want to be You don't really want a big gap to grow, whatever stage of the season, really, do you, Kerry?
No, you don't. And without wishing to continually pat me or you on the back, it's about trying to know what we know and what we don't know. It looks ominous. I said at the start of the season, I think probably the first show, you know, who's the rivals? It was pretty easy. Everyone could pick out the top six, you know, who would possibly challenge. But I thought that our biggest challenges are going to be the two Manchester clubs this season. I really do. And, you know, I think it's important, as you've said, we keep pace with them. You know, but we can't afford to give them a 10-point start or something like that. It is important, as you've already said, after the Burnley debacle, that, you know, we keep pace. Right? We put that down as a blip. We don't want too many more of them. You know, you look at teams winning the titles over recent years, and, you know, you don't see four, five, six, I don't know, seven defeats. You see probably about three or four defeats and one or two draws, or, well, four or five draws maybe, but you certainly don't see a load of defeats. And we don't want that particular tally to add up too quickly. So we're in a good position, looking healthy. And, you know, I can't wait, like you, you've already said, for the Arsenal game. That's a big one against one of our rivals. But as I say, I don't want to move on too quickly. But the games are coming thick and fast, and some of the big guns are in our sights.
Yeah, and absolutely right. And I think actually the other thing to add to that is, you know, knowing that we're going to talk about the Carabag game in a minute, and, you know, we've got the Champions League to deal with this year as well. But I think the other thing that was pleasing this week generally, actually, is that we're seeing the likes of Bakayoko coming in and partnering Kante, with Fabregas being pushed forward. You've got Rudiger impressing. I think he's looked very good in every game he's played, you know, and he's, I mean, technically you could say he's keeping Cahill out the side at the moment. It just seems to me that in spite of what everybody was saying about the transfer window, we actually do have quite a good depth to the squad at the moment, which means we will be able to compete on all four fronts, I think.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know, one of the questions I think last week, we're two games in, and we're starting to answer some of the questions that you asked that I was a bit hesitant about. Not just Morata, but you said, is the squad big enough, good enough? Has it got depth? You know, and I said people have got to come in, they've got to do the job, they'll be going out. We saw in the Carabag game that, you know, squad rotation can be. No one would still know what's in Antonio Conte's mind as to what his best 11 is. It's still going to be horses for courses. I, for one, am pleased that Cesc Fabregas is not going to be, or appears to be at the moment, outed. You know, certainly with Hazard out, you know, people who listen to the show and hear me speak know how much I think that Fabregas is our most creative player, other than Hazard. And, you know, I'm glad that with Bakayoko coming in alongside Kante, you know, Fabregas is not going to be dispensed with. And I dare say certain games, like we said before last season, you know, when you go for a more defensive strategy, it could be the case away from home up the north somewhere on a wet and cold night in the middle of winter that possibly Fabregas is left out. But I for one am pleased that he's in, and I'm pleased that he's been pushed forward a little bit, and he's got two players behind him which will allow him to express his talents going forward. And yes, there does seem depth. Bakayoko, I'm going to do a bit of a Morata thing there. Yes, looks mobile, big, strong, and just a little in brackets while I'm talking or ranting or whatever you say, big, strong midfield players charging up and down the middle of the field. You know, you look at Manchester United and so on, and you think, is that going to be the thing for the future? But we don't know. But nevertheless, Bakayoko, let's just wait and see. But I'm pleased with the form of Fabregas.
Yeah, well, my own view on Bakayoko, it's really nice to see the energy that he brings, actually. And I like the fact that, perhaps a bit unlike Matic, his first thought is to get forward, and he's not scared of bombing forward at all. And he's quite a unit as well, so that's good.
Chidge.
JK, in all the years you've been following Chelsea, you hardly ever miss a match, home or away. But how would you feel if you couldn't be there and it's not on TV?
Oh, Chich, I'd be bereft, inconsolable. The thought of missing my beloved Blue Boys live, it's all too much.
I know, JK, I know. It's all a bit too much, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, panic not. NordVPN have come to the rescue.
They have?
Yep, NordVPN allows us to watch any match, even if it's not on live TV here.
They do?
Yeah, they do. With just one click, they switch your virtual location to a country which is showing the match, and they act as your cyber bodyguard whilst online, protecting your personal data and sensitive info like card details and passwords.
Oh, wow, great. But yeah, I bet that'll cost me a fortune.
Actually, JK, it's only the price of a cup of coffee per month, and you can use your account across six devices. It's a bargain, JK. And best of all, no more tears for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, NordVPN. I'm so happy. I could cry. Where do I sign up, Ginge?
Well, to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/ChelseaFancast. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and you'll help support the Chelsea Fancast. The link is in the podcast episode description box. Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Let's look at the Carabag game, because that was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed being back in the Champions League on an evening at the Bridge. It was great fun. But the first thing we've got to talk about is that Zappa Costa goal, mate. I mean, I leapt out of my seat when that went in.
Do you think you meant it?
I don't care. It was cracking. I don't care at all, mate, honestly. I mean, I know everybody said it was a cross. I mean, I think he's even admitted it was, hasn't he?
Well, I'm not sure. I mean, it's ironic, actually. A few days before that, Harry Kane of Spurs, you know, I don't like to mention too much of that on this particular show, but nevertheless, scored a similar goal and was forced to admit, yeah, he didn't actually mean it. But, you know, I for one, am never going to criticise a goal. Doesn't matter how it goes in. If it leaves your foot or wherever any part of your body it goes in the back end of the opposition's net, then it's your goal. And it's a great goal. But nevertheless, it was a you can call it whatever you want. It was a great goal. But it was either a brilliant, deceptive shot. It was a unique cross. But for someone making their debut, great run down the right. Saw the keeper off his line and picked his spot perfectly. Let's say that.
I tell you what, you know what I mean, apart from whether it was a shot or not, which, as I said, I really don't care. I just thought it was fantastic, and it's those are the kind of moments you go to games for, I think. But what really struck me was actually he hits that ball hard, mate, because he did another shot in the second half at the other end, and he puts his foot through it. Blimey, he really does hit it hard.
Yeah, he looked quite impressive on the night, but let's face it, you can only beat what's in front of you. But they were poor. They've got to be better than that.
They were, weren't they? Really?
Yeah. I mean, their first time in the Champions League, and you know they are going to be the whipping boys. Just another little one on the back of that. Pleased with the result in the other game as well for us. That's exactly what we wanted: a couple of draws, negating points.
Yes.
And we spoke about where we finish in the group, beat the whipping boys, and if we can win our two home games and they continue to draw, then we'll top the group comfortably.
Yeah, I think it was really important. I mean, it's funny actually, because I was listening to the radio before the game, and there, you know, everybody was on Talk Sports going, "Oh, well, you know, Chelsea have put out a weakened team, and they, you know, they really need to like absolutely muller this lot, and they might not." And it, you know, and we went out there with a very changed team, and we won 6-0. You cannot ask for more than that, I don't think. Just another couple of people I want to talk about. Really, I thought Christensen was very impressive. He really caught my eye. Actually, he looks accomplished for somebody. You know, he's not that old, but he looks quite an accomplished defender in my book.
You get the impression, don't you? You know, you look at Pete the Mourinho before, and you know he didn't like certain players or certain players come and go or were left out the side. You know, you think of Kevin De Bruyne, and you think of other people that Mourinho didn't, Romelu Lukaku didn't really fancy, and you know, they leave the club because they don't get the opportunity. Christensen seems to have caught Conte's eye, and he's getting the opportunity. It's like, you know, he's gone in, he hasn't done badly, you know, in the game, and he gets another opportunity. It's like he's going to be part of the squad, and you do get the feeling that Conte is sort of blooding him, if you like, for a regular slot in the side. I mean, I'm not going to try and say who he replaced or whatever, but it looks like, to me, provided he continues to play and perform like he does or has been when he goes in, he's going to be given the opportunity to be one of these youngsters. I don't quite know how old he is, what you call a youngster these days, but nevertheless, one of the players that's actually going to make...
He's about 21, 22, isn't he?
Yeah, I'm not sure, but he looks like one that's going to actually make the breakthrough. And and providing he continues to play like he does, he's going to be given the opportunity. What he doesn't need, and God forbid, a nightmare situation, because then it'll set him back months. But as it's going at the moment, let's hope it continues, because he does look a good player.
He does, doesn't he? Just before we go on to the Arsenal, I just want to have a quick chat with you about Batshuayi, who, of course, scored two goals quite late on. I thought his first goal... Well, actually, I think they might have chalked the second one off as an own goal, but the first one he scored, I thought, was a good goal, actually. He turned his man and walloped it, and that I liked. But, I mean, what do you think about his overall game? Because he was getting quite a lot of stick from the crowd, I think. Well, I mean, you know, not nasty stick, but there was quite a lot of grumbling going around where I was. He looked to be struggling a bit to me, to be honest.
Yeah.
But I'm glad he got those goals, really, because I hope that will do something for his confidence.
I can understand the supporters' frustration. I'm not going to pour scorn on someone and jump on the back of a situation. But, you know, he had the opportunity to start the season. He didn't do well for him. part of the Burnley situation was a horror show for him. And, you know, he's going to do well to erase that. He's going to be scoring goals on a regular basis as and when he comes on. You know, you look at Morata, people are going to be thinking, you know, who goes in if Morata's injured now? And, you know, people are thinking Batshuayi, and you're going to hear more grumbles, I'm afraid, at the moment. What is he like? Mm. He's sort of great. As I say, you can beat what's in front of you. You can only score the goals that present itself. He got one, arguable two. He was in the right spot anyway, whether it was him or the other fellow, you know, he was the aim. Needs to do a little bit more, I'm afraid, as far as I'm concerned. And he's got to win the fans back over, and he's got to do more for himself. But scoring goals is the only way he can do it, and putting in decent performances. Sometime during this Champions League, we're going to see a fella who come to our club in Fernando Torres, who didn't score the goals that a striker should have scored, had done before at Liverpool. But he worked his socks off, and he became a bit of a favourite with the fans. These situations turn themselves around, and it's not often you can actually get a situation like that, but Batshuayi has got a fair bit to do, as far as I'm concerned, at the moment, to convince the crowd that he's worthy of a place in the blue shirt.
That's a good point. I mean, one thing I would say is that what I did notice when he scored the first goal, particularly, the whole team were very... I mean, you know, there was a really big celebration, and that he's clearly well-liked, I think. And they were clearly very pleased for him, and I think that was a good sign. But I agree with you, he's got a lot of work to do, and he can only improve, really, so let's hope he does. Right, OK, time for the main course now, Kerry. I mean, you know, for years and years and years, you know, I mean, well, actually, going back a lot longer, I used to dread playing Arsenal, because we used to get turned over by them all the time in that kind of period in the late 90s, early 2000s. But really, pretty much since then, we've absolutely had their number, and we lick our lips to play Arsenal. And looking at what they've done recently, I mean, they scraped past Leicester, they lost to Stoke, they got thumped by Liverpool. I mean, is this the Arsenal that we know and love?
It might be the one we love, but it might not necessarily be the one we know. I remember the game...
Very true.
Yeah, I remember the game recently, the 6-0 game. I mean, what a fantastic morning. Well, lunchtime kick-off, I think it was, down at our place. And, you know, we were something like 3-0 up in 15 minutes, or certainly 2-0 up. They had a player sent off. Songs were reverberating around the ground. Arsene Wenger, we want you to stay. All sorts of things were happening. Yeah. And I like Wenger. It seems a crazy thing to say. Not from the perspective of a Chelsea ex-player or a Chelsea fan. Thinking that, you know, we get the better of Arsenal. But I actually think he's one of the great modern managers, and what he's done for that particular club over the period has been fantastic. I'm not going to get into the debate as to whether he should go, everything. So it's got nothing to do with us. But I think he's a good manager with a touch of class about him, I have to say. And I hope that our dominance over him and his team in recent years does continue, obviously. But it's still Arsenal, or the Arsenal. And it's a fantastic game. I wouldn't take nothing for granted. I wouldn't look at their results. Arsenal or Chelsea versus Arsenal, Arsenal Chelsea, whichever way it is. You're not going to predict this with any degree of certainty and say that that's going to happen. Got world class players, and if the world class players turn up, anything can happen. So I'm so looking forward to it. It's one of the great games. Everyone looks at Tottenham, you know, Manchester, but Arsenal's is a great game. Obviously, some good memories.
Yeah, well, you love them too. You know, your favourite goal and all that, wasn't it?
Yeah, of course, some great memories, but not just because of that. It's a great game, and I'm so looking forward to it as well.
I mean, it's interesting, isn't it? Because, I mean, there's a bit of a line going out that, you know, Conte's record against them is not the best. We've lost, technically lost three from our last four. But, I mean, I think there's another side to that. I mean, OK, the 3-0 up at the Emirates last year was horrible. But look what happened as a result. The FA Cup, I think we were very leggy. I think that was a bit of an end of the season game, really. And the red card didn't help. And then the Community Shield, I mean, we had yet another red card. And, I mean, it was a pre-season friendly, for God's sake. So I'm not actually reading too much into that. But having said that, I mean, do you think we need to learn a few lessons from those defeats? And how do you think it will affect how Conte approaches it?
Yeah, it's strange, you know, when you think about the amount of time we've played Arsenal. We're only just into, the month we're in. Or where we are. And in Arsenal, we're playing them and getting to know them fairly regular. Conte's record and all this manager stuff, I don't ever buy into it. You know, his records are really broke. I mean, people spin it round and Conte wins once, or then all of a sudden he's got a great record. It really doesn't matter. Chelsea, VR, still going to be the players out there on the day, hoping for a decent referee and perspective, you know, no crazy decisions, penalties, sendings off, or something which, you know, seems to go with these games as well, sendings off and penalties, you know, always in these particular games, it appears to me, you can think back on numerous times between the two clubs, them situations happen, which will affect the game. But what you want is to see 11 players aside on the field, world-class players, and the best team winning, and the world-class players producing world-class performances, and everyone going home had, 50% or in this particular occasion, about 95% of the crowd going home very happy. I think we will win. So please, something we didn't touch on. I spoke about Eden Hazard, you know, his return recently is so important for us. And it's games like this that make his presence more and more crucial for us, because I think he could be our difference. They've got one or two as well, but he could be our difference. Other people will argue different situations in games like this, when I expect the whole situation to be quite tight.
I think that's an interesting point about Hazard, because I mean his record against Arsenal's pretty good. You know, I mean, he scored that fantastic goal, didn't he, last season when we beat them 3-1. I mean, you know, Conte's handled him quite carefully, I think, running up to this. But do you think he'll get a start this weekend? And if he doesn't, do you still think we've got enough to beat them?
I think we'll beat them. I certainly hope he's ready for a start. You know, this idea of great coming off the bench, we've got Hazard coming off the bench. Coming off the bench, by the way, it's not easy to get into the swing of the game straight away. I mean, some people have a knack of being impact players. I do understand that. But it's very hard to adapt at times to get straight into the flow of the game and what's happening. It could take 10, 15 minutes, if indeed that be the case. You know, some people think, the substitute didn't do much. But I never found it easy. Not that it happened too many times, but, you know, coming off the bench and trying to make a big impact on the game, you've got to get to the ball. But even Hazard, for me, if he's fit, he starts. And in all our big games, and this is one of the biggest, if he's fit, for me, he'd start. So whether you handle him good, you handle him bad, that only comes out in the results or his performances. But if he's fit and on form, he starts every week for me.
Well, let's hope he does, because I think that, you know, it's been proven that they find it really hard to handle him. And actually, you know, just going by, I mean, you know, here's the thing, you know that a Wenger Arsenal side will do one thing and one thing alone. That he doesn't ever really bother about how you know the opposition sets up. He just likes to play Arsenal's way. I think their midfield is still very porous, and I think they've got a real issue at defence still. I mean, I think that they're a threat to us, no doubt about it. And I think Lacazette looks a good player. Sanchez, if he's back in and back on his game, you know, they are absolutely a threat to us. But I happen to think that our defence, both midfield and the back three, are able to cope with that in a way that theirs might not be able to cope with ours. So that's really why I would tip us to win, Kerry. Would you agree with that?
Yep. I'm just interested on the back three or whatever. I wonder who it would be, whoever it may be, the back three. It's not quite as clear-cut as it has been perhaps in recent times. There are one or two options now. Yeah, I hear what you're saying. If they have a weakness, it is defensively. Arsene Wenger's, I'm not saying his teams are known for that, because, you know, whether he inherited the George Graham famous back five and all the rest of it, but he's had some very good defensive teams as well. There have never been defensive teams, but defenders who don't give a lot away. So, I don't know. I think we're good in that department. I think we'll win the game. I think, like you said, they've got Sanchez. I don't know about the Lacazette, whether he looks good. He scored one or two decent goals, which is all you can do. I still think Ozil is a good player and can do things with the ball. And they have got, you know, the likes of Aaron Ramsey. They've got some decent enough players still that can hurt us. I always see goals in this game. I don't see it at all. Let's say 3-2, 3-1. I don't think that necessarily our defence is as watertight as perhaps you say. But nevertheless, I see goals in the game from both sides, and I just hope we score more than them, and I think we will.
Well, I'm not disagreeing, but I think if you look at it as, you know, you've got, you know, the way that Conte plays this side, you've got the three at the back. You've also got Moses and Alonso to help out the back. And I think if he plays Kante even and Bakayoko, I just think that's quite a lot to get through even for Arsenal. And I don't think it diminishes as an attack. So, you know, I have to be honest, I feel quite confident. Although I would admit, I do, like you, I think they've got some good players and they can hurt us. I've got to be honest, mate. I'm thinking 3-1 here. I really am.
Well, Dave, I'm not going to disappoint you, and considering where we are at the moment in our predictions, I'm going to actually go along with that as well. 3-1. I don't think they're devoid of a goal. I think they're more than capable of getting one. I think they possibly will, but I think we're more than capable of getting three at home. So let's hope the goals keep flowing.
Well, indeed. I mean, of course, the other thing is they're playing at home tonight in the Europa League against Cologne. So hopefully they might be a bit leggy on Sunday as well. Because I think, you know, going back to the Leicester match, we talked about that. The Everton match the other week. I think that certainly affected them. So I'm hoping that the same might be true of Arsenal. We will find out on Sunday, of course. I'm obviously going to be there. You're going to be there too, aren't you, Kerry?
That's correct.
Good stuff. Well, look, let's hope we enjoy another cracking afternoon playing and hopefully beating Arsenal on Sunday. You and I will be back next week, of course, for another show. I can't even remember who we've got the week after next, but never mind. It'll come back to me sometime, hopefully before.
Yeah.
Is it Stoke? Is it Stoke?
Is it?
Home or
is
it? It's got to be away, isn't it?
Stoke.
I think it might be.
I think
you're right, mate.
Apologies if we're wrong somewhere along the line. Not really well doing our homework on future games, but I think that is the case. We've got a Carabao Cup game at home next Wednesday.
Wednesday. That's right. Well, there we go. So me and Kerry will be talking about how wonderfully we've beaten Arsenal on Sunday. We're going to be talking about the Forest game next week, and we're going to be talking about the Stoke game coming up. So there you go. Lots to talk about next week as well. It's been, as always, Kerry, great, great fun. As we said earlier on, best wishes to Canners. Hope he gets well soon. And don't forget, you lot out there, to check out ChelseaFan12.com, who very kindly sponsored us this year. Kerry, enjoy Sunday, mate, and I look forward to speaking to you next week.
Thanks, Dave.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates are round. You've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect! Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.